But we're just allowed to go back. Yeah, we're not going back inside yet. All right. We're going to be outside still, but we're at least allowed to go. So that's where we're at on that. All right. Mark chapter something. Chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And look at verse 15, because that's where we're going to get our theme this evening and discuss a right mind, a right mind. Mark chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. That little phrase, his right mind, that shows up over in Luke as well. And this account of this devil-possessed man is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's really one of the most dramatic accounts of devil possession in the Bible. The Lord had cast out some devils from other people, but you don't ever see the devils going into pigs or anything like he does here. It's just kind of one of the most dramatic, if not the most dramatic, accounts of devil possession in the Bible. And when I say or emphasize his right mind, obviously he's not in his right mind. This man's deranged at the beginning of this. And I want to focus on how a deranged man came to be in his right mind. And obviously you're going to see the power of Jesus Christ in this. But let's read Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And get some of the story here. If you're not familiar with it, let's get some of the story here. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Then they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' Forthwith Jesus gave them leave. The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and he had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him, that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, 'Go home to thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee.' And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel." What an incredible story. What an incredible story. And let's pray and talk to you about a right mind. A right mind. Father, Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. I pray that you'd help us magnify Jesus Christ tonight. Help us see him in a perspective maybe we haven't seen him in before. Please help us be encouraged by Jesus Christ, by his power, by his purity. Lord, I pray that you would you'd feed your flock this evening. And those that are watching, I pray you'd help them. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for those that are watching. Pray that you'd bless each soul. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so that's the account of this devil-possessed man. And like I said, it is truly one of the most dramatic accounts of devil possession in all the Bible. This man's case is hopeless. It really is. I don't know how this started. I don't know how he got into what he got into. I don't know how the devils came to be inside this man. And obviously there's probably some history there, but you're not really told about it. But he is woefully hopeless. And all attempts to restrain him for his safety, for the safety of others, have been unsuccessful. And this man has become a social outcast because he's violent, he's unpredictable, he's unruly, he's aggressive. His personality, his goals, his desires have all been made subject to this spiritual parasite that now lives in him. And so you ask, you know, it's interesting that the Bible is, I mean, God's word is so, it just cuts through and diagnoses. It gives a diagnosis of men just exactly where they are and what the problem is. And I read this and I read about a man's mind, the derangement this man is succumbed to or he's dealing with. And people would say, you know, is this I think people would ask, you know, is this a spiritual problem? Is this a mental problem? Not knowing what the Bible has said about this man. You just watch him and you would say, does this guy have a mental problem? Obviously, it would say he has a mental problem. Some might even say, does he have a spiritual problem? And the answer is both, which is always the case. If you have a spiritual problem, you're going to have some mental problems with that. And so this spiritual problem, it's parasitic. It's not intrinsic to the man. It didn't come from the man. It's a devil that now found a host, and now he lives in this man. And I want to show you a couple things before we get to the solution of this. But his condition reveals something about man's weakness, not just his own weakness to overcome the devil that's in him. But it also reveals the weakness of people's diagnosis of things. And I'll get to that in a second. Let's consider all the things that are going on with this guy. Number one, in verse 2, it says he has an unclean spirit. And those things are set in contrast throughout the Bible, an unclean spirit and the Holy Spirit of God. You got the Holy Spirit of God, and then you've got unclean spirits. Those things are set in contrast throughout the Bible. And this man has an unclean spirit. He's also, in verse 3, he had his dwelling among the tombs. So he has this morbid fascination with death. That may sound familiar, maybe more familiar than you want it to sound. But that's what this man's personality is now. That's what this devil inside of him is fascinated with. So he lives among the tombs. He has this morbid fascination with dying and graveyards and things like that. Also notice, people have tried to restrain him, probably for their own safety, maybe for his safety, I don't know, but they've tried to restrain him. And over time, maybe they got him restrained, but over time he breaks the chains. He pulls them out of the wall, or however they had him restrained. But he has some sort of a strength or just determination to not be bound up. And he's fierce, he's wild, he's savage. And I think about drugs have this similar effect on people. They can. Drugs can have a similar effect. I mean, make people just out of their minds, and they don't feel the same things that people, normal people feel. May not feel the same pains people feel. I mean, alcohol can have the same effect. You don't feel the same pain, so you do things more than normal, and you maybe hurt yourself in ways that you don't even feel. But this man, he's savage. He's fierce. He's wild. And there really is no, you know, there's not really a psychosis that describes that. I mean, you can say something in somebody's mind may make them crazy, but to assign supernatural or abnormal strength to them, that's a little bit different. And he identifies himself as many devils. So there's that. We'll touch on that in a second. The Bible says he's always night and day. He is in the mountains and in the tombs crying. So he's an insomniac. He doesn't sleep. He cries all the time. Just an emotional wreck. The crying, typical of depression and mania. He's cutting himself. That's something that goes on, and probably a lot in teenagers these days. He's cutting himself. He's into self-mutilation. And interestingly enough, he's afraid of the Son of God. When Jesus Christ shows up, he knows exactly who he is, and he's scared of him. And so with all of this in mind, with all of these symptoms that this man has, I want you to step back, because his symptoms and his condition really reveal the weakness of man in a couple ways. Number one, it reveals the weakness of man, of this man, his inability to cast the devils out of himself. Obviously, he doesn't want to be in this condition, but he's in this condition. Second thing, it's the weakness of man because man doesn't know what he's dealing with. People have tried to restrain this guy. Obviously, physically, they've tried to restrain him. Maybe nowadays they might chemically try to restrain him, but they've tried to restrain him, and man just doesn't know what he's dealing with here. He's just trying to capture this wild animal so he doesn't hurt people and hurt himself. And so it makes me think of, you know, if there were some medical doctors from America that walked up on this man and tried to diagnose him, they would probably come up with some sort of diagnosis. Some sort of multiple personalities. He says he's multiple people. He says he's multiple devils. At least that's how he identifies himself. He's depressed. He's manic. He has this morbid fascination. And so in Western medicine, what's interesting, I'll give you a little just thought on man's ideas about this stuff, about psychology and things. In Western medicine, if you imagine a couple of, I don't know, Johns Hopkins doctors show up to this guy and they try to discern what this man has. Immediately you understand they don't believe in devils, so that's not part of their diagnosis. Although that's the problem. But that's not going to be the diagnosis. In Western medicine, you have this sort of idea of the individual is the center of everything, and it's different in Eastern medicine, but in Western medicine, you have this idea that's it's compartmentalized. We're focused on classifying everything. I guess the word is taxonomy. You're categorizing, classifying. And all that. And so the individual is the focus, And all things can be reduced to a material, chemical explanation. That's the point. Everything can be boiled down to some chemical explanation. So they see this guy, he lives in the tombs, he cuts himself, he's crying all the time, he says he's multiple people, and an American doctor would say he's got a chemical problem. His problem is his chemistry is not right. And the weakness of all that is this. Mankind has already ruled out any possibility that there are spirits and devils and God and resurrection and any of those things. So what you have in medicine really is what the Bible describes as sort of Sadducees. They don't believe in resurrection, they don't believe in angels, they don't believe in devils, they don't believe in spirits. Everything can be classified as a chemical. And so that's Western medicine. If you were to go to Eastern medicine, it's not really the same thing. Eastern medicine doesn't believe the individual is the center. Eastern medicine is more holistic, believes the universe is the center. And your relation to the universe is maybe off balance. I'm telling you this because we have been infected by mindsets we don't even realize we've been infected by. We live in a certain philosophy and understanding of the world, and I think we believe that like American culture is Christianity. American culture is materialism, is what it is. And so Western, you get these Western doctors, just imagine it, these Western doctors, they show up and they try to diagnose this guy and they say, well, he's got chemical imbalances. These Eastern doctors show up and they say, well, he's not right with the universe. Or they say this, there's another thing about Eastern medicine. Eastern medicine, in some regards, doesn't necessarily believe that depression and things like that are bad. It's just the yin and the yang. There's happy, there's depressed, and you're just part of the balance. And so they don't necessarily have to address all this stuff. They don't feel like you have to have a streamline of things. There just has to be a happy, a depressed, a good and an evil. And evil is just as necessary as good. That's an Eastern thinking. Now, I say all that to say neither the Western mind nor the Eastern mind is a biblical mind. But we've adopted, we have one of those minds because we live in America and we abide by the culture and things like that. And so it shows you the weakness of man, because not only does this man not have any power to get rid of the devils, but when the wiser people show up, the doctors, the medical practitioners show up, they've already ruled out that this man doesn't have a devil. He has some sort of chemical problem. But this man's problem is a devil. That's his problem. Now, I'm not saying this is so common or anything like that. This is a very unique case. There's like I said, there's not a whole lot of this in the Bible where a man has this level of problem. But neither of these approaches, Western, Eastern, they're all just man trying to figure out what he's dealing with. And he's just sort of taking a shot in the dark and saying, well, this kind of looks like this, it kind of looks like this, maybe he'll respond to this, maybe he'll respond to this. And they've already ruled out the Bible. But the Lord gave you the diagnosis right off the bat. He said, this guy has an unclean spirit. That's his problem. And it's made his mind crazy. He's a lunatic. He's violent. He's fierce. He's angry. He's dangerous. So say that to say this. These materialistic thoughts infect us. You know why it's very difficult? I think it's very difficult sometimes for you and I to maybe get motivated about prayer or Bible reading or public ministry or witnessing to others or even assembling together. It's very difficult because we have been infected with materialism and we don't see the effects of any of this. We don't feel the effects of this. And so it's difficult to get motivated because we see the same world the doctors see. It's just chemicals and biology. What is prayer going to do? What is my testimony going to do? What is Bible reading going to do? I read my Bible and I get bored. What is this going to do for my life? And so we have this, we've adopted this similar mentality. And so this man's case really reveals ultimately the utter weakness of man, not only to overcome spiritual troubles, but also the weakness of man to even understand what he's dealing with. He doesn't even know what he's dealing with. But then you get in verse 6, and Jesus Christ shows up, and his presence reveals his authority. It's so interesting. As soon as Jesus Christ steps off this boat, these devils know exactly who he is. They know exactly who he is. They say, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Like they know their future. It reminds me of James, where he says, "You believe in God? Well, you know, good for you. Even the devils believe and tremble." But it doesn't really mean anything to just believe in God like that. So the devils, here's these devils, and they tremble. You know, as I'm reading through this and I'm thinking, it's a remarkable thing that you have devils that show up and are afraid of Jesus Christ. But then on the other hand, you have men who crucify Jesus Christ and don't seem to be afraid. Men are they're dangerous. They are dangerous people, dangerous creatures. But Jesus Christ shows up, his presence reveals his authority, these devils know exactly who he is, and he just speaks the word. He tells this unclean spirit to get out of the man. And immediately this man falls on his face, or these devils fall on their face, and they beg him that he wouldn't cast them out or torment them right now. Just send us somewhere else. Don't make us leave the country. Just send us somewhere else. He said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit," verse 8. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. I'll just make a comment there. That's kind of an interesting comment there. They found some sort of, I don't know, they found some sort of enjoyment in the particular area they were. These devils did. It's like they're attracted to certain cultures. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of interesting there, weird. And then there's some pigs, and they just beg Jesus Christ to not throw them in a fire. And so they ask him if they can go into the pigs, and he answers their prayer and says yes. So they go into the pigs. The pigs just go berserk once they get this spiritual parasites, these devils in them. They just go berserk and start drowning themselves. And so all of that said, this is a terrible case. This man has had trouble for a long time. He's had a lot of trouble. The last thing I want you to notice, and the most important point in all of this, and really the main thing, is what Jesus Christ says in verse 19, where he mentions, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." His right mind is a result of the compassion of God. Notice the compassion of the Lord changes the man's condition. Now, this is where I want you to focus here and think about this. Notice the power of God's words to change the man's condition. Jesus Christ didn't fight these devils. He didn't karate kick the devils or anything. I find it so interesting. But so kind of typical, I guess. I watched, this has been, I don't know, a while back, one of the Avengers movies. And it's everything boils down to who can punch another person harder. Whether it's the God of the universe versus Spider-Man or whatever, everything is reduced to a punching match. But Jesus Christ shows up, he doesn't throw a punch, he just speaks. And these devils cower, and they beg him, Don't burn us up yet. Notice the power of God's words to change the man's condition. You know what? You know why the Bible's good? Because it'll change your condition. It will change your mind. It will help you have the right perspective. I noticed man has no power. Man has no power to change the condition of this man. I just imagine. These doctors that show up, just use your imagination. You get these Johns Hopkins doctors or Harvard doctors, and they diagnose the man, and they say he has a chemical problem. Maybe not. Maybe they can subdue him chemically. Maybe they can pump enough stuff into his body that his body just starts shutting down. Maybe they can do that. But they have no power. They have no ability to change the man's condition. He's going to live in this condition forever. I mean, he can visit the physicians and they can give him some medication, but he's going to live with this condition forever. But Jesus Christ shows up and you know what he does? He changes his condition completely. He's no longer a devil-possessed man. But the contrast, man has no power to change the condition of the man. He's attempted to put restraints on him, physical restraints, maybe chemical restraints, maybe nowadays. Whatever the case is, there is no authority or power in mankind to change this man's condition. But in Jesus Christ, there is. This man went from... it's incredible. This devil-possessed man went from living in a cemetery, cutting himself, crying regularly with no hope. No hope. The doctors couldn't prescribe hope to this man. They could prescribe pills, but they can't prescribe hope. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, he prescribes hope. This man went from cemetery living, cutting himself, crying regularly, no hope, to verse 15. He is sitting, he is clothed, and in his right mind. Wow. What's the change? The change is the power of Jesus Christ. The compassion of God Almighty through Jesus Christ. A psychiatrist might have been able to prescribe enough medicines to sedate this man and limit his unruliness. But that psychiatrist isn't getting rid of any devils. This man's going to have to live this way if he turns to man. But Jesus Christ gives this man a new life, completely new life. He's in his right mind. what that phrase reminds me of, that right mind, from a deranged mind, from a crazy mind to a right mind. Reminds me of that verse in Timothy. He says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." Sound mind. You know what you get from God Almighty? You have a sound mind. I said it before, but it bears repeating. It bears repeating. You are not promised in this life a sound body. However, in Jesus Christ, you are given a sound mind. Now, I get it. When you get old and the body starts falling apart and everything, yeah, the mind may go. I get all that stuff. But that doesn't change the fact that God gives people a sound mind. A sound mind. He said he didn't give you a spirit of fear. So where did the spirit of fear come from? Well, it might have come from the news. It might have come from what you're watching. It might have come from what you're listening to. Where'd the fear come from? God didn't give you that spirit. He gave you a spirit of a sound mind, of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's incredible. This man, you would never imagine this man would be doing what he's doing at the end of the chapter from reading what he's doing at the beginning of it. He goes from a devil-possessed, crazed lunatic to an evangelist. Alan back there. He goes from, you read it, you've heard it. He goes from a crazy, lunatic madman, possessed of devils, to a calm, excited though, loving God, evangelist. The Bible says he wants to follow Jesus Christ. I think when I read this, I don't think this guy is Jewish. I think he's a Gentile. He's a man from the country of Gadarenes. He says, can I go where you are? Can I follow you around? He asked Jesus Christ, can I go where you are? Of course he wants to be close to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has just saved his life, has completely changed him. And the Lord says, no, go home, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors what great things God has done for you and shown compassion on you. And he does it. The Bible says in verse 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. What an incredible story. And not just the story. You know what it illustrates? You know what it tells you? It tells you about the power of Jesus Christ. It contrasts the weakness of man and the power of Jesus Christ. What man thinks he's dealing with, what man has no power to assess or even handle, even if he knew what he was dealing with. But Jesus Christ walks on the scene. Boy, those devils immediately recognize who he is. And he speaks the word, and those devils, they leave. They run into those pigs, and however that worked. I don't know if I want to go into that, but I want you to remember the power of Jesus Christ, the sound mind, the right mind that Jesus Christ offers. It's what a dramatic story here, and not just story, it's history. The compassion of the Lord changes the man's condition, and it corrects his mind. Corrects his mind. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want you to consider this. You understand the power of Jesus Christ. I mentioned it earlier. We are sort of infected with, well, let me put it this way. There are no medical classes in American colleges on devils. Because in America, those don't exist. That's not a part of the diagnosis, even though those things are real. Devils are real. And we fall prey to, you understand, a lot of, I'm not bad-mouthing a lot. There's a lot of good medicine, but I want you to understand our medical practices, they're Western medical practices. They're based on the idea of biological evolution. And so it's just material, chemical, things like that. Understand, Jesus Christ, he trumps all of that stuff. He has the power to change your condition. Not keep you in the same condition and just sort of adjust the jail cell a little bit. He has the power to get you out of the cell and live in freedom and liberty. That's this man. I mean, I can only imagine how dramatic this man's life was changed. You probably couldn't get him to stop talking about what happened to him. Going from where he was to what he became. What a testimony. Seated, clothed, in his right mind. Interesting enough, then the people are afraid. They're afraid. I won't go into all the pig stuff, but you get the idea. Jesus Christ, he has the power to change your condition. A new creature. Not just the old creature with some band-aids. A new creature. Not just the old creature with some patches, a new creature. A new creature in Christ. Father, I pray you to help us get what we need to get out of this. It's a really dramatic testimony. Doesn't happen a lot, and this is one of the most dramatic ones in the Bible, but it definitely demonstrates the power of Jesus Christ. The ability of Jesus Christ to subdue things that man has no ability to subdue. Lord, help us apply that perspective, that those words of God to our lives. Deal with things that need to be dealt with in our lives. Thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.